under the apostolic grace of our Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. in the School of Ministry. This class is Catching the Waves of Revival, and I'm telling you, things are happening in the earth realm today. Today we're going to talk about the third stage of revival, which is times of refreshing. That's chapter 13 in your book, Catching the Waves of Revival, by Apostle Jonathan David. Let us begin. The times of refreshing is the latter rain that comes to mature the grains or the seed that have been planted. It quickens the process of maturity by quickening the grains for the harvest. Understanding the times of refreshing. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 19. Repent ye, therefore. Repent ye. Uh-oh, that's why you see repentance, the second stage of revival, comes right in this particular passage of Scripture. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing can only come from being soaked, saturated in the presence of God. One of the major rewards of repentant life is that the times of refreshing will come, and it will be sent from the presence of Almighty God. Times of refreshing is a time of seeing the manifested presence of God breaking forth upon our lives. The consciousness of God's presence becomes a reality in us, and also a reality to us, and also a reality to those who are connected to us and are witnessing the grace of God that's upon us.
We are conscious that God
is not only around us, but that God, most importantly, is in us. The manifested presence of God permeates throughout our soul and body with the consciousness of God. Times of refreshing is a time of seeing the seed within us germinate and rise to its full potential. That's maturity. There are God-given gifts and talents that has to be placed inside of us, and that only comes through the sowing of a seed. God has sown his seeds of promise and revelation into our innermost being. All of these things that God has planted into our spirits begins to be quickened and start to germinate. We start to see the hidden life and the anointing of what God has placed within us. During the times of refreshing, those seeds that have already been planted within us will see a maturing and a quickening into a harvest. The times of refreshing is also a time of knowing how to yield to the presence of God. It is during these times of refreshing that God teaches us to communicate wisely with his presence, as he manifests himself in a more tangible way to us. The Holy Spirit woos us into an intimacy of relationship, and the Holy Spirit teaches us his ways. the Holy Spirit trains our spirit to hear God's voice and to bear witness within our hearts that we're being raised up as God's sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit causes us to break through into a spirit consciousness that allows access into this dimension, a quickening of our zeal and a greater desire for the supernatural takes place. The Holy Spirit not only becomes manifested to us as a person, but the Holy Spirit also opens up a new level of relationship with the Father and with the Son for us. The times of refreshing is a time of yielding to one another in true fellowship, and let's go a step farther and say in true relationship and fellowship. Relationship and fellowship. Go ahead. Our love for God is deeply enlarged, and our hearts are broken and contrite before God. Our love for one another takes on stronger bonds. Now, unity cannot be achieved by human endeavors that often try to bring unwholesome man to relate with each other. Human relationships are only meaningful when we have the third cord in it. Now, you know what the scriptures say, right? A trifold cord is not easily broken. Go ahead. God is restoring true meaningful fellowship during the times of refreshing. Times of refreshing reveals the tares. The times of refreshing, this third stage of the revival, reveals the tares. Times of refreshing is also a time when weeds and tares germinate and rise up together into harvest. And we can also say with the harvest.
Discovering where the tares are.
This is the most difficult part of the times of refreshing. We start to discover that an enemy has sown seeds into our fields. Now, I want to break this down, because your field is your soul. Your field is your mind. Your field is your will, your emotions, your desires, your appetites, your conscience, your subconscious, your memory. All of those things are your imagination. All of these things are part of the field that the enemy will use to try to keep that seed from maturing, from maturity. Go ahead.
Matthew 13,
verses 24 through 30.
Another parable put Jesus forth
unto them, saying,
the kingdom of heaven
is likened unto a man
which sowed good seed in his field.
But while men slept,
his enemy came
and sowed tares
among the wheat
and went his way.
But when the blade was sprung up
and brought forth fruit,
then appeared the tares also.
So the servants of the householder
came and said unto him,
sir, did you not sow good seed
in your field?
From whence then hath these tares?
He said unto them,
an enemy has done this. an enemy has done this.
The servant said unto him,
Will thou then
that we go and gather them up?
But he said, Nay.
Lest you would gather up the tares,
you root up also the wheat with them.
Let them both grow up together
until the harvest.
And in the time of the harvest,
I will say to the reapers,
gather ye first
the tares,
and bind them in bundles
to burn them,
but gather the wheat into my garner.
Now, let's deal with that, because we need to understand that the field, once again, is the soul.
See, Satan is the enemy. The only enemy of God is Satan.
He is an enemy that cannot be reconciled to God.
That's why in Genesis 3:15, God pronounced upon the serpent who allowed Satan to use his body to deceive Eve. He said to the serpent, the seed of the woman would crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That took place when Jesus hung on that tree on Calvary. The seed of the woman. A woman have no seed unless it is given unto her.
Now, you know, in St. John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. The 14th verse say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now, why are we giving you those passages of scripture?
Because in St. John 12:24, Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. But if it died, it'll bring forth much fruit. In Luke 8:11, and Jesus teaching his disciples the meaning of the parable of the sower, he said, the sower soweth the word, the seed is the word of God.
See, all of the seed that God sows is the word.
We have been taught by many other denominations that the word of faith was for the spirit.
But in the new birth, our spirit have the life and the divine nature of God.
The thing that needs to be renewed and changed is the mind.
The Word of God is designed to deal with our souls.
That's why in Romans 12 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
See, without the renewing of the mind, without our minds being flushed out with the Word of God, we will continue with that sin nature that was taken out of the spirit of man, but yet remained in the soul and in the body of man, because the body only carries out what the soul let it carries out.
So the word of faith, which is the seed of God's word, is designed to deal with the soul of man. And as we effectively meditate the word daily, both day and night, you know what Psalms 1 say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law doeth he meditate both day and night.
He said, this man shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper.
So we can see how that meditating God's word day and night. See, meditation is how we train our souls. Meditation is how we flush out all of the strongholds that the enemy has put in our imaginations and our desires and appetites. So those tares that the enemy sowed were seeds from the enemy, and the only enemy that have access to our soul is Satan. So he will speak lies. He will give you thoughts, because thoughts are words and thoughts are seeds to build up a stronghold within our minds to cause us to become enemies of God. See, it's only in your soul that you can become an enemy of God. So we have to constantly, consistently, according to Joshua 1 and 8, meditate God's word. And of course, what we said in Psalms 1 through 6, we have to constantly meditate God's word so we can deal with the mind, the conscious mind, and the subconscious mind. That's the only way we're going to deal with the tares in our lives. Go ahead. Discovering where the tares are.
This is the most difficult part of the time.
This is the most difficult of the times of refreshing.
The seeds of the enemy
are sown into three aspects of our lives.
Number one,
sin habits.
The sin habit
still exists in our body and in our soul.
And the sin nature
has been removed from our spirit.
But
our soul and our body
still retains
its likes and its dislikes within.
Number two,
the subconscious mind.
Our subconscious mind
retains
and it remembers every word,
emotion,
and concept
that has impacted our lives.
A stronghold
is a mindset
impregnated
with hopelessness
that causes the believer
to accept
as unchangeable
something which he knows
is contrary to the will of God.
Strongholds
are fortified places
of Satan
that he uses to exalt himself
against the knowledge of God.
And Satan builds these strongholds
to influence our thought patterns,
our behavior,
our character,
and our lifestyle.
I want you to stop right there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I want to start reading at about the fourth verse. Now notice what this says. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare. We got to understand, when we're dealing in the realm of the spirit, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Satan is trying to build a fortress within our souls to block God's word out so that we cannot fulfill God's agenda in the earth realm. So he says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? Carnal, but they are what? They are mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and what? And every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God and? And notice that phrase, bringing into captivity
every thought
to the obedience of Christ. Why is that so important? Because thoughts are words. Thoughts are words. Satan speaks words to us, words that bring fear, doubt, worry, unbelief, not trusting in God, to create a barrier between us and the living God that's on the inside of us. God is not going to do anything about it. That's why he said in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, once again, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, God is not going to do it that for us. That's why he told us to meditate day and night. Go ahead. Bringing into captivity
every thought
to the obedience of the Christ. Go ahead with the lesson.
Number three,
the conscious mind.
The enemy wants to sow seeds
presently into our minds. These new seeds
desires to penetrate
our minds today.
And these present thoughts
that enter into our conscious mind
can trigger a chain
of negative
or positive
thought. Notice this word, patterns. See, the enemy like to work in patterns. As being people of color, slave mentality. In slave mentality, our minds have been warped to believe that the white man is against us. Now, you may face this in another race, in another way. It's an inferior attitude, slave mentality. Slave mentality is bondage. We have been freed by God's Spirit. We are no longer a slave to no man. We don't owe no man nothing but to love him. In order for us to be free, the Bible says he that the Son had set free is free indeed. What slave owners did to people of color, they said these words, we don't want you to kill them. We don't want you to hang them. We just want you to cause them not to trust each other. If you can cause them not to trust each other, you can enslave them for 200 more years. But here's the reality of that. It's called Willie Lynch. You go read it up, because it'll help you in what I'm about to tell you. The enemy knows if he can get you to stop trusting God. If the enemy know he can lie and say God did something or God is responsible for something that he didn't do, or that God allowed that bad stuff to happen to you so he can punish you. If he can do all of these things and break your confidence in God, you will never be able to reach your full maturity in God. Because one of the things about God, he's not a man that he should lie. He's not the Son of Man that he should repent. Had God not spoken it, shall he perform it? Shall he not bring it to pass? One of the most outstanding things about God is God will never go back on his word. I believe it's Psalm 89:34, where he says, "My covenant will I not break, neither will I alter the thing that I've spoken out of my mouth." God is a covenant-keeping God, and he will always perform what he promised. Go ahead.
How to consciously deal with the tares
that the enemy sow in your mind, not God.
We need to know.
Rather the tares already inside
our subconscious mind,
or if they're trying to enter
via our conscious mind.
The conscious mind
needs to be fully equipped
with a renewed mind
to stop any advances of the enemy.
This is like preventing the bee
from attacking
or stinging the fruit.
Other times,
we are dealing with tares
and seeds
within the subconscious mind
of a person.
This is like dealing with the worms
which are already inside of the fruit.
and decay has already begun.
We need to know
how to deal with the bee, the present attack
coming from the outside
through the conscious mind.
And we need to know
how to deal with the worms
and
internal. See, the worms are an internal attack.
Coming from seeds,
now embedded
in the subconscious mind.
Now, let me show you. How does Satan do that?
How does Satan actually do that?
The Bible says temptation come because of the word's sake.
So what Satan does is Satan attacks the very word that you're hearing,
causing you to try to not trust in what God is saying.
Now, in Ephesians chapter 6,
we're going to start at the 10th verse.
Come on.
Finally, my brethren,
be strong in the Lord
and in the power of his might.
Put on the whole armor of God
that you may be able to stand.
Now notice that, against the wiles, the cunningness, or the craftiness of the devil.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities,
against powers,
against the rulers of the darkness of this world,
against spiritual wickedness
in high places.
Wherefore,
take unto you
the whole armor of God,
that you may be able
to withstand
in the evil day.
And having done all to
stand therefore,
having your loins
girt about with truth,
and having on the breastplate
of righteousness,
and your feet shod
with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all.
See, all of this equipment that's listed in Ephesians 6, starting at the 10th verse.
It's for the soul. It's for the soul.
The enemy can only attack us through our soul.
That's how he gets into our bodies.
So notice this verse. Above all, taking the what?
Shield of faith.
Wherewith
you shall be able
to quench all of the fiery darts of the who?
Of the wicked one.
You see, the fiery darts are all of those thoughts, those lies that come from Satan to tell you something.
Now remember this. Everything Satan say is a lie.
So if he say you're broke,
he lying to you.
He already know you're rich.
But he gets you to looking at your checkbook
or your savings account.
He gets you to looking at the job you're on.
No, baby.
We are king's children.
We are rich.
That's why God gave us the words, money cometh,
the apostolic mantle that's upon our apostle's life.
We must not allow the enemy to lie.
We are healed.
We are healed.
We're not gonna be.
I am healed.
I don't care what your situation is.
I don't care what your challenge is.
The enemy is trying to infiltrate your mind to cause you to think you're not something that God says you already are.
We are healed.
We are delivered.
We are free.
We are rich.
We are prosperous.
We are blessed.
Go ahead, child.
How to deal with the bee.
We need to avoid places
where temptations are prevalent.
And we need to take extra precautions
in the areas
where we are commonly tempted or attacked.
In our minds.
Go.
We need to develop a healthy thought pattern
about the areas
where we are commonly tempted.
Now, the only one know that is you.
No man.
This is 1 Corinthians 2. I don't have time to go into all of this, but you need to read 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 9, all the way to the end of the chapter.
But it says, no man knoweth the things of a man
save the spirit of man that is within him. Nobody know you like you. You're only revealing to people what you want them to know about you. But God knows everything. Go ahead. We need to deal with religious attitudes that we may have about those areas of temptation. And we need to deal wisely with negative words spoken to us every day. And we need to respond rightly to circumstances and situations that's in our lives. Here are four guidelines on responding rightly in any given situation. We only have a limited view of any given situation. We're not able to properly interpret the given situation. We can come up with many false expectations and assumptions. And we can become insistent, dogmatic, and prejudiced in our approach in a given situation. How to deal with the worms? We need to, number one, repent, asking God for forgiveness for allowing those seeds to be embedded into our subconsciousness. We need to renew our minds in those affected areas of our lives. We need to survey the extent or the measure of the damage in the fruit. We need to ask ourselves the following: to measure the extent of eternal damage being done by these seeds that are embedded in our subconscious. Is the seed preoccupied? Is the seed preoccupying my thoughts? Are my emotions taking a toll? Is my conversation often reverting to the incidents or the seed? Am I thinking of any physical actions to carry out these obsessive thoughts? Is my willpower crumbling in, refusing to resist these emotional passions and takeovers? Who shall we turn to for help? Choose someone who's trustworthy, who does not have a problem in that area, who has very high standards in those areas, who's in leadership and have proper covering over his or her life, who can give us consistent help until we are fully delivered, someone who operates in the discerning of spirits, and we need someone possibly who is in our own local church that we can confide in and submit our lives to. Now, that is it for this evening. Much more to say. Remember, next week is Prosperity Revival. And I'm telling you, your lives are going to be in for major, major, major shifting and change through the apostolic ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and the sons that apostolic grace have fell upon. Blessings to you.